Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was a little bit great. That was great. I think every week we do that. I may start praying more. So we'll do it. I love praying. Aren't y'all excited? We have history makers in the back. We have two age groups, right? And so they'll tell you about it. So children, and they have nursery also going on. So children, if you want, parents, if you want them to go, it's good. If you don't, that's good. Children, let's point our hands at them. Jesus, we say bless them, bless them, bless them. Amen. God bless you guys. Have fun. They're going to have a great time tonight, this afternoon, this morning. I'm pretty excited. I woke up excited about this. When I preached last week, I was listening to myself and I said, this is going to be good. It's like, do you know how long it took a lot of us to become depressed and sour and bitter and full of angst, you know? It takes years and years and years. You know how long it takes you to believe that you're not any good, to believe you're not enough? It takes years. And you know what? It may take us a little while. It may take some time. But the most powerful thing about Christmas, the most amazing thing about Christmas, and that's what we're talking about, what is it all about? And last week, I began to touch on it, and it made a difference in my life this week. I don't know if y'all did your assignment. Here was your assignment, right? Every time you see a Christmas decoration, or the word Christmas, or a candy cane, or hear a Christmas carol, whatever, every time you see that, I want you to think one thing: Christ in us. Us. Now, not just you. Now, I know we said that. The verse, right? Y'all know the verse, Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said it this way: to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles. Now, here's the deal. What's the glorious riches? When you look at that and you look at it the way it was said in the original language, it's like above the, over the top, overflowing, abundant, super abundant riches. Like this mystery that Paul's about to say is the most powerful thing, the best thing that will ever happen to you. It's the best thing that will ever happen to the world. And every one of us carry it. And every one of us can give it away. You see, I need to know this in my own life. I want to wake up every morning with Jesus. I belong to you. It's you in me. God, I am enough. I am your child. I am your favorite. I am favored by you. I'm your son. I'm an heir. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm full of life. I've been forgiven of all my sin. I am not guilty and shameful anymore, God, because of what you did, Jesus. You see, it's a gift. And so every morning I want to wake up and think that. I'm like, okay, God, what do you want to do through me today? How do you want to bless people? I was going to do this morning, and I got distracted with Missy's testimony. She just told me that yesterday, and I got it mostly right. I think I messed up a little bit, but she just told me yesterday, and I'm like, Missy, I was here when that happened 15 years ago. I don't remember that. Well, she does, because you know what? When God touches you on the inside, you remember. It changes your life. And her life, we've watched her grow and glow and glow. And her light gets brighter, her and Peter, all the time. And so it's just amazing to me. And you know what? The greatest gift to the world is you. Christ in you. It's a mystery. Christ in you is the hope of God's glory. Is that not the most insane thing in the world? God, you'd be thinking, God, you could pick somebody better than me. You don't know. You know me, God. He does know you. Don't say you don't know me. He does know you. And he perfectly created you to carry his presence in a unique way every day. So the first thing when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to go, "Woo, God, I'm here. Pick me." And the thing is, he's already picked you. Well, did he know about my tongue, the way I talk? Yeah, he knew about the way you talk. Did he know about my depression? Did he know about my addictions? Did he know about, yes, he knew it all. And he said, him in you is the hope of his glory. So if God's going to receive glory on earth today, guess who it's going to happen through? You. and me. And so the first part I want just to do that every day in Christmas. I want that to, because if it took us 50 or 60 or 30 or 20 years to become not enough, right? To become inadequate, to become bad. If it took all those years for those feelings to become real inside of us, it may take some time for the truth to become real inside of us too. I need a lot of encounters with Jesus to convince me that I'm okay. Right now, who I am, what I am, where I am, what I'm doing. I mean, some of us, we live in the same neighborhood. It's funny, me and the Wessels live in the same neighborhood. Sort of. They're building a house. And so we had a neighborhood Christmas party last night. It's like the first one ever. I've been living there 30 years in this house I'm living in. 30 years I've lived there. Our first neighborhood Christmas party. And so me and Jeannie go to it, and we get there, and was there 12 people? Seems like around 12, you know. But they're all this. My neighborhood's old. Everybody in the room was a grandma or grandpa or great-grandma or grandpa. And I'm like, you know, we started eating at 5:30. Which is sort of typical for older people. And by 7, I'm looking at my watch thinking, it's time to go home. It's bedtime. And 4 people left. They just left. And the rest of us, we were good souls. We stayed. We were going to have fun because the host, the lady who hosted us, she had a game plan. Didn't start it till 7. Can you imagine? So, my gosh, I'm going to have to suck it up. And so we stayed and we had fun. And I noticed that about half of us have a hard time getting off the couch. I was like, you know, you may want to play in different games because we had to get up every time we were playing. And that has nothing to do with anything. But it's Christ in us, right? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that makes every day special. Every day from now till the end of the year, remember it's Christmas. And remember, Christmas is about Christ in you. I know we celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's what we celebrate. But why did Jesus come? So that he could live inside of us. So he could live in us the way he lives in the Father and the Father lives in him. And we could live in him and we could live in the Father the way they live in each other. And then we could be one. We could be one. So here's the second part. First part, what's going to change your life is as you begin to realize who you really are. I'm going to tell you something that breaks my heart and makes me a little upset is when I see parents or bosses or anyone putting somebody else down in order to try and build them up. It's like, what are you doing? Don't cuss me and call me a dog if you want me to do a good job for you. You know, when I first started working outside of the house, right? And you guys that are baby boomers like me, we were raised by the people before us. I don't know what they were called, but what? They were called mean parents. So I had bosses, neighbors. I'm telling you, when you messed up, it wasn't pretty. It was like being in the military. They screamed and yelled and, you know, they might hit you, and you just better get with it, and you better, and I'm doing the best I can. I was 14 years old helping roof a house without nail guns. You have to actually hold the nails, and I'd hit my fingers so many times I couldn't do it anymore, so I was using a pair of pliers, and the guy just ripped my face off, trying to make me better, you know. Yeah, tell me how bad I am. That'll really help me do better. Guys, that doesn't help. Do you know what helps? Is somebody to believe in who you are and who's inside of you. You know, I know who's inside of each one of you. The King of the earth, Jesus Christ, the Savior, our Messiah. He lives in you, and his power resides inside of you. Now, you know what's beautiful? So when we think about Christmas, I want to think about Christ in me. Not my failures, not my past, not my faults, not my inadequacies. I want to think of Christ in me. And there is no better. There's no higher. You know, we have a hard time. You know, y'all are sort of like that party last night. The lady who threw the party, she's real nice. She works with teenagers all the time. And she's a grandma too. And at about halfway through the game we were playing, she said, you know, every other time I've done this game with people, they were all laughing and excited and just over the top. She said, it's not like that. I said, listen, we're all old and we're tired. We want to go home. You're used to teenagers. We ain't. That's sort of like we are, worshiping the King sometimes. You know, I don't know why, I felt God's presence this morning, almost overwhelmingly felt his presence during worship. And I'm worshiping, and I'm between Harvey and Edie Joe and Tiger Lily. And I'm Tiger Lily and Edie Joe on this side, and Harvey's on this side. And I'm like, God, why do I feel your presence so strong? And I looked at Harvey, and I was like, nope. And I looked at Annabelle and Edie Joe, and they were worshiping. And I was like, that's what's affecting me, is what's happening right there. And then I looked up on stage, and Camille was worshiping, and the worship team was worshiping, and I'm like, God, it's affecting me. Do y'all know y'all affect each other? That's why those football games and the sports things that Dana and I, neither one really care for, they get so excited. Well, you know, if you were there, you'd get excited too. And it helps if you'll bet some money on the games. That'll, like, get you more involved. I am not promoting gambling. I don't gamble. I'm too tight. Christ in us, hope of glory. Remember, God, do that exercise. You've got a few more days left this year. Our sign we put up out front, Shelby Wessel designs those signs for us. Shelby Wessel, Shelby Young. She got married. Shelby Young, she designs those signs. And that sign says that, Merry Christmas, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Guys, remember. Now, you know what else will change your life? Remembering that the people you see, the same thing's true about them. So when you see somebody, you know who they are. Now, you know what? They may not know. They may have their whole life shaped by negative words and judgment and criticism and failures and faults and mess-ups and bondage. Their whole life may be shaped by those thoughts. And I want to tell you, you have a mystery. You know a mystery. You're not that. You're not. I personally, I was working on a therapy official degree and I stopped, but I'm like, I hate how we label people. I am not a label. I'm me. Yeah, but you're bipolar. No, I'm not. I'm me. No, you're you. And we're all different. And the truth is, the predominant thing inside of me is him. He is the trump card. Nothing from my past can trump what Jesus Christ says I am. So I look with the scripture and I look, say, who are we? And so today, I want to tell you a story. I've seen this happen over and over. This is a picture during the Depression. I think it was a staged picture, maybe. I don't know. But it's a real picture during the Dust Bowl and Depression in Oklahoma. Things were tough, weren't they? None of us were. Well, I guess Marceline was there. But, you know, we don't know how hard it was. But, you know, when I looked at this picture, When I look at this picture, let me see if I can get over. I probably can't do that. There we go. A few years ago, guys, quit judging people. Just stop it. But you can't stop judging people if you don't stop judging yourself. So if you find yourself judging everybody around you, guess what? It ain't no secret. It means you judge yourself really, like you're skilled. I was going to say, you know what your gift is? You're gifted at judging. Well, that ain't a good thing. That's not a good thing. So a few years ago, I was back in when we were a little bitty church in what we call the Rat Building. It's a little dumpy place. We're just getting started. I can't remember, Harvey, if you were here yet or not. But it's just starting, just small group of handful of people. And one day, one of the ladies in our church brings this girl with her, this young lady, probably in her mid-20s. I don't know, something like that. She was 14, and she was older than that. But I was outside whenever they came walking up, And I love, I really do, I have a soft heart for special needs people. That's why I pastor you guys. I'm so funny. Yeah, I just always have, still do, had it, even when I wasn't following Jesus, I have a heart for people that have to fight hard to make it, you know. And this friend of mine walks up, and she's got this girl with her, this young lady, and she looked like that little girl. Her hair looked like that. She's wearing some kind of funky dress. It's just bad. Like, and when she gets out of her car, she's like, she never looks up. Even when I met her, I wanted to shake her hand, and she's just, and I'm like, oh, I could tell. I thought this girl's just not non-functioning, and that's okay. So I welcomed her and was glad she came in and blah, blah, blah. And it ends up the young lady came forward for prayer after service, and she was manifesting a little bit of demon stuff. And so it ends up we get to do freedom prayer with her, which freedom prayer really does one thing. It's looking for where we believe lies about ourselves. It's the easiest job in the world to help people find lies they believe about themselves, because we all do. Well, so this lady, she brings that young woman down, and we pray with her a week, like several weeks. I don't know how many. Not too many. And I learned her story. And it was a sad story. And I can tell y'all this. There wasn't physical sexual abuse. But this young lady lived in northern Arkansas somewhere and had a big family. And she had a compassionate heart. And she became the chosen one to care for all the elderly people in the family. Like, they didn't go to nursing homes. They didn't go to here. And as a young teenager, she began to take care of the elderly people. And then it's like that became her thing. And she didn't get to go to school. When I met her, she'd never had a job. She was on full disability, mental disability, and emotional disability. And really, I didn't know, because she had heard her whole life, you're not good enough to go to school. This is what you can do. This is all you can do. This is all you can ever do. This is why you're here on earth, is to do this, take care of the elderly people. And so she had all these lies she believed. She believed she was stupid. She didn't believe she could graduate or go to school. She didn't believe she could ever get off of welfare. She was 100% on welfare. She had all these lies. And you know what Jesus does? He slowly exposed the lies. And he had encounters with her. And the demons had to leave. And then she goes away, because she doesn't live around here, so we don't see her. I don't remember how long, Harvey. We didn't see her for several weeks. And you just go on with life. And then one Sunday morning, this lady drove up into the parking lot again, and I was standing out in the parking lot, and she gets out of her car with this really sharp, attractive young woman. And I don't recognize her. You know, I met her when she came in, but I didn't recognize her as that woman. And so the lady, her aunt, I think it was her aunt, she went in and, you know, took her in and got her sitting down. And then she came back out and she said, you didn't recognize her, did you? I'm like, no, I don't know her. She said, and she said her name. And I was like, what? She said, yeah. And she's an author now. She writes books. She supports herself. It's like total transformation. And the whole thing was, her whole life, she had had nothing but people putting her down and putting her down and pointing out her faults and telling her she doesn't dress right and telling her she doesn't know how to do her hair. All she'd ever heard was the stuff that Satan believed about her. And all we did was tell her who Jesus says she is. Jesus, I heard Jesus say this to somebody this week that was interesting. He was talking to somebody who didn't believe in themselves. And I asked Jesus to speak to them, and it was a lady. She said, Jesus said that I am his sweet, sweet, sweet daughter. I was like, whoa. And guys, I'm telling you, to change your life. You see, that's who we are. We have a gift we can give away to people. When you know who you are in Christ, and you know who other people are in Christ, you can give them the most precious gift they'll ever be given. Their identity. Who am I? What am I here? And Jesus, we want to look at that. And so we've been looking at that in Scripture. And I know it's like, I feel like this, that I'm driving you crazy with this. I'm not sure how long I'll drive you crazy with it. But until we get it, I'm probably not going to move on very far. So like, you want to find out who you are in Christ? Read Scripture. Look at what Jesus said. Look at who Jesus is. And like in Colossians 3:12, this is a great scripture. You should like stay here forever. Since God chose you to be the holy people, to be the holy people he loves. You know who you are? You were picked first team, first team. God chose you. And he chose you to be holy. And he chose you to love you. So you know who you are? You're holy, you're first team draft pick, and you're loved by God. There, that's who you are. Well, Alan, you can't say that. No, I can't, but Scripture can. Paul said it. He's like, this is who you are. You're holy. Yeah, but I'm not acting holy. Listen, if you're working for a king, you're who the king says you are. It doesn't matter what you think or what you do or anything. It's the king says. He picks the team. He picks first. He does. And so every one of you guys are first team All-Americans, God-Americans, right? You're first team. And then it says this, and this puts us back into religion, and we don't like religion. We're breaking down those walls and all that stuff, right? You must clothe yourselves. Oh, God, here it is. Now I've got to perform. He didn't pick me. I've got to earn it. Guys, that's religion. That's the sin nature inside of us. That was the sin nature inside of Eve, Adam and Eve. They tried to perform to become something that God created them to be already. You know, the truth is, God, it's like when you look at that, it's like, God, okay, must. You must clothe yourself. You know what? If a king gives you an order, you do it. Here's what that does. What Paul is describing here is a condition of being chosen by God. It's like if I got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, I would get this really cool uniform and helmet and pads and, you know, a couple million dollars a year. I must have that money. I must have that helmet. I must have those pads. But wait, you have to earn them. No, I get them because I was picked. Guys, this is who you are. When Paul says this, he's describing a condition of being chosen by God. Like if Jennifer would have walked in this morning and said, Bobby, you're on the worship team today. Well, who is she to say that? Well, she's the worship leader. And so can you sing? I don't. Summer said, no, not really. It doesn't matter. If he got picked, he's coming up here and he's getting a mic and he's going to sing. Guys, you've been picked by the king and he's appointed you to everything he's about to say. It's not you do this to become my son. You are this because you are my son. Guys, that's the difference between religion and grace. And so when we look at that, I look at this verse, it's like, you don't know who you are. You clothe yourselves, you're tenderhearted. I said this last week, but I didn't think we got it, so I'm reading the same verse. You are tenderhearted. So quit arguing with God and saying you're not. Yeah, but I'm... And mercy, yes, you have mercy. That's who you really are. That's why you get mad when somebody accuses you of not being. It's because in your heart you know you are. But you may not be acting like it yet. That's okay. You know who's in charge of you growing up? Jesus. He's the team captain. He's the coach. He's everything. Guys, and you're going to have mercy. You're going to have kindness. You have humility. That's who you are. Well, I always try to validate everything and make myself look good. I know that's what you're doing, but that's not who you really are. And as long as your heart doesn't line up with your actions, you won't ever be real happy. You might as well just give in and be humble. Give in and have mercy. Give in and be tenderhearted, because that's who you are. Now, you know what the secret is? The mystery is, when you believe this, and guys, it took us a long time to believe the opposite. So it's okay if you have to do this every day for the whole month. And finally, the last day of the month, you wake up in the morning and you actually believe that God has his favor on your life, that he's directing your life, that he's forgiven you, that you don't have any reason ever to be ashamed again because he's already forgiven you for all your sin, that you're special. You're as special as anybody else in the whole world. And so this is what we do. And you're patient. Next time you lose your patience, you know what you do? Whoa, that's not me. I know I just acted like that. I raised my voice. I yelled at you. I was sharp. I know that's true, but that's not who I am. Well, Alan, wait a second. I just saw you. That is. I said, no, my actions don't say who I am. He says who I am, and he says I have patience. And as I embrace that, as I begin to breathe that air, as I'm in that vibe and that atmosphere, guess what happens? That's why what was happening in worship. I was between worshipers, and I felt his presence. I'm like, God, I did good today, didn't I? Like, it wasn't me. I felt it, but it wasn't me because I was me before I felt it. Guys, God has something for you waiting to give you when you believe, just like salvation. When you believe, the power of Jesus' blood begins to work in your life. When you believe you're who God says you are, his power is released to create that in you. And then he says, make allowance for each other's faults. You know why? Because our faults are just areas we're still growing in. We're just still growing. Well, Alan, you messed up. Yeah, you messed up too. But I know I did too. And I'm making room for that because I know that's not me. That's not me. I'm a son of God. I've been born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, not in my actions. It starts in here. It starts in here. It starts in our minds. That's where change happens. And so often, we in religion, we say change your actions and that'll change who you are. And Jesus said, I change who you are and that will change your actions. It's unstoppable. It must happen. And I love that about God. And so you go on and so you say, he says, remember. You know, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, wake up. Nobody's asleep, are they? Good. I don't want to embarrass you. You can stay asleep if you want to. But wake your spirit up to remember who you are. Every day, who are you? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm sitting on a throne in heaven with God. I'm a patient man. I'm a kind man. I'm a diligent man. I work hard. I am blessed. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. That's who I am. And when you remember that, it releases God's spirit inside of you. Like, you know what happened to Peter? Y'all remember Peter in the Bible? He was a bold one, right? That always blew, you know, his mouth, running off his mouth a lot. So Jesus, they're in a storm. They're crossing a sea. They're in a boat, the disciples. Jesus said, you guys go on ahead of me, and I'll be there. And they leave Jesus on the shore, and they're rowing across this sea. It's several miles across, and a big storm comes up. And the disciples, all these fishermen, are scared to stinking death. They're just scared to death. They're going to die. And then they didn't know much about the Holy Spirit back then. They didn't know anything about it. They look, and there's something walking on the water towards them. And what's our first thoughts anytime something unusual happens? ghost, it's a ghost. No, it's not a stinking ghost. It was Jesus. Jesus was walking on the water, and the scripture said it looked like he was just going to walk right past them and leave them out there fighting the sea. And then Peter, brave Peter, said, Jesus, that's you. Have me come out. Have me walk. Because, you know, when you're thinking about who you are, you and I think this. We think we're just humans. No, you're not. People need to hear that from you, too. You need to tell people. You know, you're acting like a human, but you're not just a human. The King of the universe lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God fills you up. You're a son and you're a daughter. God himself lives in you. You aren't just human. I need to hear that and you need to hear it. That's what we're saying to each other. God, you're not just a human. You are filled with the Spirit of God. Well, you know what? It's funny. What did Peter do? He said, Jesus, can I come out there? Because it's impossible to walk on water, isn't it? And Jesus said, come on, Peter. And Peter started walking on water. Amazing. You see, there's more to you than meets the eye. And if you walk in the Spirit, you know it. So when I saw that lady so messed up with such a hard life, I knew that what I saw wasn't who she was. I didn't know the reasons. I didn't know anything at that time. I just knew it because I believe this. I believe it's about you and I believe it about me. I believe it for the world. I don't care what somebody does. I believe what the scripture says. And so Peter gets out there and he starts looking around. Quit looking around. You know what looking around means? Looking at what's going on, looking at your circumstances. It means you're looking at evidence of who I am, evidence of who you are. You're looking around at the physical things in the world. And Peter did that, and he started doubting that he could do it. And he started sinking. You know, we do that. Because, you know, when you make orange juice, you know what happens? I don't know if I've ever actually done real orange juice, but I've seen you squeeze the oranges and get the juice out of them, right? And you put them on a little thing and you press them down and the juice runs out and you have orange juice. You know what happens to you and me? When we get squeezed, whatever's inside comes out. If you have doubt and unbelief, it'll come out. Peter, when he saw the storm, he started doubting. At first he believed, and then he doubted, and he started sinking. You see, it's like this. What I'm trying to do on Sundays, and have been for a while now, is I want to align up our thinking with God's thinking. I want you to think about yourself the same way Jesus thinks about you. What Jesus says is true about you, you need to line up with that. I am a son. I'm a daughter. I'm ruling and reigning. I am free from sin. I am free from addictions. I'm free from sickness and disease. That's who I am. And I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to line myself up with God. I'm getting in alignment with him. Peter got out of alignment, and Jesus took him, and I think he grabbed his hand, and he walked with him back to the boat. Guys, it doesn't matter where you're at right now. You need to line up with Jesus. And if it means taking his hand like a child, take his hand like a child. Because he'll turn you into a water-walking person. He'll turn you into an overcomer. He'll overcome all. It's like this. You know what car? You know in your car? Like this used to be a really big deal. When your front end's out of alignment, you know what happens? If you let go of your steering wheel and your front end's out of alignment, your car will go off course. Or it doesn't go straight. It needs to be aligned. If it's aligned, it'll run straight down the road. Guys, when we hit rough spots in our world, it will sometimes knock us out of alignment. Oh, I believed yesterday I was good. I believed yesterday that I'm free. I believed yesterday I'm forgiven. But something happened today, and now I'm back right there. I lost my patience again. I drank again. Guys, all this happened is you got knocked, and Jesus wants you to come back in alignment. Okay, who are you? Oh, I'm holy. I'm loved by God. I've been chosen by him. I have a purpose and a destiny. I'm bringing my mind back in alignment with his. And when you do, the voltage, the power of God starts running back through your body again. So guys, I just want to encourage you. You must be everything you thought you had to do to be, you actually believe to be. And when you believe it, it'll happen. And it's all grace. It's for by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, not of works, lest anybody would boast. Guys, let's don't boast this year. Let's do amazing things, but let's do it because we believe who Jesus says we are, and then we'll be free. I just got a text from our wonderful Dana Wessel, who made announcements today. She forgot a very important announcement. She just reminded me. We're setting up the tables and stuff in here, making them really pretty for Wednesday night, and they're decorating. The table decorators are decorating tomorrow night. We need help right after service to move these chairs out into that hallway and to move the tables and chairs in the back into here. So you guys that don't get to help decorate, which I'm sorry, we're not prejudiced. But if you're not helping decorate, you might take 15 or 20 minutes right after church and help us. We have rollers to move these chairs and stuff. They'll show you. If you've never done it, it's real easy. Jacob can show you how to do it. They know how to do it. Okay? Guys, let's believe this week, every day, Christ in me. I want to remember that every day. What that looks like. Read your Bible. Find out who you really are. And then when I look at other people, I don't want to judge them by the flesh. I don't want to judge them by what I see. I want to judge them by what he says. He says they're his children, that he lives in them, that they're precious, that they're pure, they're holy. That's who they really are, even if they're not acting like it, because of what Jesus did. And when you do that, your life will start changing. It really will. So it's a great gift. Christmas is a beautiful time of year to receive gifts. Let's give ourselves this gift and give others the same gift of who they really are. Amen. All right, let's all stand up. We have the amazing accompanist Jennifer Alford. I don't know how to say that word, sorry. The amazing piano player. And we have prophetic teams that we always have people come up to pray for people. And one of the most beautiful things that happens is when they pray for you, they're tuning in to God. They're lining up with God about how he feels about you. They're not making it up. They're not trying to manipulate you. They're believing what Jesus says about you. And when people do that for you, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Some of you in here, you've had your lives changed because people prayed for you. And when they did, something happened. Amen. That's true. So this morning, God's inviting you in. It's time, you know, she's playing that song, Here's Where I Lay It Down. Yeah, you may have to lay some things down to receive the gift he wants to give you. Okay, so Father, I just thank you for what you're doing right now. I thank you for encountering us so powerfully this morning. Thank you for everybody working with our children in the nursery, and God, that you're so good. I just thank you for those children and the potential and the life that you have placed inside of them. So God, help us not to be negative influences, but to point them towards Christ. God, just give us wisdom and patience and perseverance as we guide people here at Grace, at home, at work, wherever we are, God. Just thank you, King. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming.